Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're following several breaking stories this noon. The U.S. Supreme Court issues an opinion agreeing with the North Carolina Supreme Court regarding redistricting. The justices ruled against North Carolina lawmakers in a case about how much power they should have over federal elections. Also, an NC State grad student now faces charges in connection with the murder of Christina Matos. Plus, Raleigh police have identified a man killed in an early morning crash and what may have contributed to it. We have a lot of news to tell you about. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Just after 10 a.m. is when the U.S. Supreme Court issued that opinion that has gained national attention. This is the case officially known as Moore versus Harper. It's centered on the congressional boundaries North Carolina's lawmakers drew last year. They had been ruled unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court, which led to this national lawsuit. It had the chance to affect elections here in North Carolina and really all across the country. WRAL's NC Capitol team has followed redistricting and the legal challenges all along the way. And state government reporter Will Doran joins us live right now to explain some of the implications. Will?
Yeah, so Jeff, first off, this is not going to have any effect on past votes here in North Carolina. We're not going to have to redo elections or anything like that. But it might affect the state's representation in Congress in the future, starting in 2024. The big national news, however, is that the court has rejected a theory called the independent state legislature theory that the legislature here was pushing. State lawmakers had argued that state courts should be banned from ruling their actions unconstitutional when it comes to federal elections.
Okay, so it could have affected elections for Congress, presidential election, if the court hadn't shot this down today. Is that right?
Exactly. So, for example, this was actually the same legal theory that former President Donald Trump had tried using to remain in power despite losing in 2020. Obviously, it did not work then, but critics had feared that if North Carolina had won this case today, a future president could have done that. And so they worried that, honestly, it would have harmed the basic foundations of American democracy.
So national elections won't be changed by this ruling and won't change past elections from North Carolina. What does it mean for us here in North Carolina specifically?
So for us, we are looking ahead to the future. It wasn't a total loss for Republican lawmakers here in that the court is letting them move ahead with their plans that they already had to redraw our congressional maps later this summer. People may know we've got 14 seats in Congress right now that's split evenly, 7 Democrats, 7 Republicans. That happened in the 2022 elections under actually court-ordered maps, but those are going to go away before 2024. And the new maps are expected to be much more favorable to Republican candidates, probably giving them 10 or 11 out of those 14 seats. We don't know exactly yet what that's going to look like, but it should be happening in the next few months here.
Well, there's a lot that's happened in the last couple of hours. We know that. And as it's hitting the national stage and all of the national programs as well. Will, thanks for this. I know you keep an eye on it in the future as this moves on. And for more on today's decision, I want to let folks know what it means for voters here and across the country. You can go to nccapitol.com for more on Will's reporting. Will, thank you.
Now to more breaking news. An NC State grad student is now charged in connection with the murder of Christina Matos. The 20-year-old was found stabbed to death in an apartment 2 years ago. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live at the Wake County Detention Center with information on this new arrest. Chelsea.
Renee, Kaylee Lynch Fiaracano just made her way through the magistrate's office here where she was charged with obstruction of justice and accessory after the fact to murder. She was picked up at her place of employment early this morning by Raleigh police. Now, as we mentioned, according to her LinkedIn, she is an NC State graduate student. She's actually charged with helping another man charged in Matos's murder hide from police, and she's also charged with destroying evidence in this case. Now let's show you the video. This is 22-year-old Kaylee Lynch Fiaracano arrested this morning by Raleigh police. WRAL was the only station there as she was brought before a magistrate on charges of accessory after the fact to murder and obstruction of justice. Lynch Fiaracano was indicted yesterday by a grand jury. That indictment actually states that she allegedly helped Eric Hernandez Mendez escape detection and arrest, and that she helped destroy and delete evidence as well as gave false information to law enforcement. Eric Hernandez Mendez was already charged in Christina Matos' murder. That occurred in April of 2021. Matos was only 20 when she was stabbed 16 times in her apartment near NC State's campus. Matos' family said that she actually married Hernandez Mendez on March 29, 2021. That was 6 days before she was found dead in her locked bedroom. Now, Lynch Fierracano is currently in the Wake County Detention Center right now under no bond. She will go in front of her judge for her first court appearance. That will happen tomorrow afternoon. Renee.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Raleigh. Thanks, Chelsea.
Work is underway to repair a massive sinkhole on Rayford Road in Fayetteville. It created quite a nightmare during last night's storm. We're told a Fayetteville police officer got pushed into that hole by an 18-wheeler as it slammed through a barricade. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live after speaking with the police chief about the chain of events that led to his officer being hurt. Gilbert.
Well, Jeff, yeah, I did speak with the police chief about an hour ago. He says that officer is a patrol officer, D. Presley. He is at home recovering. He's going to be okay. But, boy, some scary moments, as you mentioned, as he was pushing to the sinkhole here from the heavy rain that we had from last night's storm. Now, we do have some video of the officer pulling himself out of that sinkhole. He managed to get himself out just moments after he was pushed in there. Highland Paving Company has been working in this area for about a year, installing a new underground drainage system. Now, the NCDOT says this sinkhole was created after a large amount of rain fell during last night's storm. The police chief says that's when his officers were called into this area.
When officers responded, they were attempting to close off the road. There was some vehicle that was driving too fast for conditions and actually struck the officer's car as they were out there, which pushed the officer into the hole.
Now, that vehicle that he was talking about that was traveling at a high rate of speed is the 18-wheeler that ended up in the sinkhole as well. You see it here. Now, we're working to learn the driver's name, but we're told he's been charged with failure to reduce speed and traveling too fast for the conditions that we had last night. You can see the work continues. I got a little robot or something in there smoothing down the ground there and trying to get this road open again. Now, I did talk with Andrew Barksdale. He's a spokesperson for the NCDOT. He says he's satisfied with the work that Highland Paving Company has been doing on this project here. He said what happened out here, unfortunately, was an act of nature. We've experienced it with hurricanes and flash flooding that comes with that. Jeff, that's the bad news. The good news is that they believe that this work will be completed sometime today, and Rayford Road from 71st going back into the city should be open sometime later today.
Yeah, that is certainly a quick recovery right there, and also good news, and we hope that officer recovers quickly as well. Gilbert Bates, live in Fayetteville. Now, a portion of Bragg Boulevard reopened this morning after flooding overnight. It had about 18 to 20 inches of water filling the intersection right there, Martin Luther King Jr. Freeway. Two cars were abandoned in that water, and they needed to be pulled out. The DOT was able to get the drains open and cleared that road shortly after 3 this morning. A home in Cary is needing repairs after a tree came down in that storm. It damaged the home in the Somerset development on Haley House Lane. The homeowner says part of the ceiling fell on a woman who was sitting on the sofa in the family room. She wasn't hurt. The tree didn't fall directly onto the house, but it caused enough damage there to the master bedroom upstairs as well. Firefighters are inspecting a home in Cameron for damage after a tree fell right on it. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. The homeowner says he was in his kitchen during the storms last night when he heard a loud boom and felt the house shake. He believes he will need to replace his entire roof. No one was hurt.
Breaking this noon, Raleigh police say a man who died after crashing his car into a Duke Energy truck may have been impaired. Police identified the driver as 47-year-old Ryan Fox. The crash happened just before midnight on Six Forks Road near Sandy Forks Road. The Duke Energy truck was pulled over to respond to a power outage when a white sedan crashed into the back of it. The Department of Justice says multiple failures within the Bureau of Prisons led to Jeffrey Epstein's death in 2019. The scathing report listed several factors, including prison employees failing to conduct rounds and cell searches to check on Epstein, his access to extra bed linens, which he used to hang himself, and failure to assign Epstein a fellow inmate after he was placed on suicide watch. The Board of Prisons closed the Metropolitan Correctional Center 2 years after Epstein's death.
We're also getting new details about a group of juveniles who escaped from a Butner detention center. And WRL's Brian Schrader has updated information right now about how they got away, Brian.
Jeff, we've learned that a staff member at that detention center was injured after officials say a group of juveniles attacked her. State juvenile justice officials tell me this happened Sunday night at the C.A. Dillon Juvenile Detention Center in Butner. The Granville County Sheriff's Office says five juveniles housed there attacked a counselor, took her keys, and then escaped. Deputies worked with Butner police and state officials to search for them, and they took the five back into custody about 6 o'clock Monday morning. Granville County Sheriff Robert Fountain tells me they located the juveniles in two locations in Butner, about 3 miles from the facility. We have learned that the staffer was treated and released for minor injuries, and the state says they are right now conducting an internal review of what happened, Jeff.
All right, I'm glad they caught up with them. Brian, thank you. Next at noon, new audio recordings of former President Donald Trump. What he appears to be saying about top secret documents and who was listening.
Also, an attempt at a romantic gesture turns out to be a crime for a tourist in Rome. What he faces if convicted.
Plus, court documents reveal a state employee got some hefty pay raises while having an affair with a high-ranking government official. At 12:30, Ken Smith joins us with the fallout. Elizabeth.
Well, compared to yesterday, we have a beautiful afternoon and evening in our forecast. A little breezy and warm, but our humidity is dropping. I'll let you know how long it'll stay a bit more comfortable coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Turning now to big development in the federal case against Donald Trump that involves those highly classified documents he took with him after leaving office.
For the first time, an audio recording has surfaced in which the former president appears to discuss classified documents with people who did not have security clearance. NBC's Garrett Haake shares the audio.
These are the papers. This was done by the military, given to me.
In his own words, former President Trump in a newly surfaced audio recording that's expected to be used as evidence in his federal case involving classified documents. In it, he appears to acknowledge he knowingly held on to a classified Pentagon document about a potential attack on Iran. The 2.5-minute audio tape obtained by CNN shows Mr. Trump discussing what he calls the, quote, highly confidential document.
I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this.
That conversation, according to the special counsel, took place during a meeting at Mr. Trump's New Jersey Golf Club in July 2021 with two staffers, a publisher, and a writer who was working on a memoir of Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff. Mr. Trump referencing the document more than once on the tape, and at times even jokes about it being, quote, highly confidential.
It is, like, highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information.
In a Fox News interview last week, the former president claiming there were no documents shown in that meeting.
That was a massive amount of papers and everything else talking about Iran and other things. And it may have been held up or may not, but that was not a document. I didn't have a document per se. There was nothing to declassify. These were newspaper stories, magazine stories, and articles.
I'm just saying. But the recording appears to tell a different story.
Yeah. See, as president, I could have declassified. Yeah. Now I can't, you know, but this is classified.
Now we have a problem.
The former president, who pled not guilty to a 37-count indictment accusing him of taking classified national security documents with him when he left the White House, then obstructing the government's efforts to get them back, lashing out overnight on social media, accusing the special counsel of having, quote, spun the tape, as well as saying without evidence that he illegally leaked it and calling it an exoneration.
Was Garrett Haake reporting. FBI Director Christopher Wray will testify next month during an oversight hearing. Wray could possibly take questions related to the claims of retaliation in the FBI against whistleblowers and allegations that the agency is targeting Catholic Americans. A recent report by Special Counsel John Durham may also come up. The report concluded the FBI should not have launched a full investigation into connections between Trump's presidential campaign and Russia during the 2016 election.
A man accused of opening fire into a car and killing an unborn child will make his first appearance in court this afternoon. James McBride is charged with murder and several other counts, including attempted murder. Cumberland County deputies say back in May, McBride fired shots into a car with six people inside it along I-95. Three people were hurt. The unborn child did not survive. McBride is in jail on a $3.1 million bond. The man accused of killing four University of Idaho students is expected to appear in court this afternoon, just hours after prosecutors said they plan to seek the death penalty against him. Brian Koberger's attorneys asked the court to order prosecutors to turn over more evidence about DNA tying him to the scene. They've even floated theories that DNA from three other unidentified men were found at the crime scene.
Carving your partner's name into a tree in the forest can sound romantic and sweet, but carving it into the Colosseum in Rome, not advisable. A young tourist was recorded using a key to carve his and his fiancée's names into the Colosseum in Rome. The inscription read Ivan and Haley, 23. The alleged incident took place on Friday, and police were alerted by videos appearing on social media. Italy's culture minister is calling for the man to be identified and sanctioned. If convicted of a crime, that man could face a fine of at least $16,000 or up to 5 years in prison. So they're looking for Ivan. And when
they have a good shot of him.
When in Rome, don't do that.
Yeah, not romantic at all. Mm-mm. Pretty reprehensible. Do not deface historic buildings.
Historic building that I'd like to see one day.
Well, we're seeing sunshine out there and some blue skies. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We are drying out after a night of wild weather.
Oh, we did. Yeah, from the Triangle area down southward, we had a lot of reports of wind damage. We had 4 inches of flooding in Fayetteville where people had to be rescued out of their cars. But it's a nice quiet day today. Nothing showing up on the radar. We might have a few isolated showers or thunderstorms later on today. We'll move things past to about 1:30, and you can see, especially north and east of the Triangle area, that's where we'd have a better chance of just a quick shower. We're not looking at anything severe or anything that's going to cause anybody any real issues, but it'll be, you know, we'll have some of these big puffy cumulus clouds that here and there could, let loose a quick little shower or a sprinkle as we get through the afternoon and evening. Tomorrow's looking very similar. We're going to be nice and dry. Temperatures are a little bit cooler than yesterday. The front is still trying to move past us right now, and so we'll continue to see conditions feeling pretty nice. This is a live look, of course, at downtown Raleigh at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, and I think that's one of the summer camps at the museum. So you see the kids marching back into the building there, right there at the Daily Planet. 86 degrees is our current temperature. Our dew point is 64, and that's kind of a middle of the road, sort of tolerable dew point. 79 in Roxboro, it's 85 in Fayetteville, 82 in Goldsboro, 84 in Rocky Mount, so it doesn't feel terrible out there right now. I mean, considering that it is the end of June. We'll see a high of 90 this afternoon in Raleigh and Durham and 92 in Fayetteville. And that's plenty hot. But yesterday we were in the mid-90s. We have a string of highs in the mid-90s coming our way. I'll show you that in a minute. Our muggy meter right here, 64. That puts us right at the top of tolerable, pretty close to steamy. We take a look at the muggy meter, and that's about where we'll be for today and tomorrow. We push it on into steamy Thursday and then right on into tropical on Friday. As a matter of fact, we are likely to start having some issues with a heat index, and we really haven't had to see that much this year. You know, we had a really mild May and June up to this point. 90 today, 66 tonight. That'll feel pretty comfortable. 89 tomorrow, 66 Thursday morning. And then we get into Friday, and we'll see that high of 94, looking at mid-90s then all the way through Monday. Of course, Tuesday is the 4th of July, and so this is a big weekend. A lot of folks heading out of town this weekend, most likely for a big chunk of vacation around the 4th of July. We're going to move into a slightly wetter pattern with the addition of the heat and humidity. 93 Saturday, we have 40% chance of thunderstorms. And they're, again, likely on Sunday and Monday. But they're going to be that, it's going to be, that summer-like pattern where it's really hot and humid. And at the end of the day, we have these little spotty thunderstorms that pop up. And we see the rain. It just makes everything feel more steamy. That's what we're looking at for the holiday weekend. All this heat, as long as you're careful out there, though, will make it nice for, 4th of July types of events like going to the pool or the lake. We also are watching the tropics, another system system may re-energize. I'll show you that coming up.
For the first time, the city of Raleigh sent its first public safety alert. Coming up at 4, WRAL's Matt Tallhelm sits down with the Wake County Emergency Director about yesterday's scare with an armed suspect.
Then at 5:30, you could soon get a buy one, get one off deal on liquor from the ABC store. So we'll walk you through the bill that would allow discounts on alcohol and a Sunday ABC store sale. And still ahead this noon, Amazon is introducing a new plan to help customers get their packages in a timely manner. Find out how profitable the deal could be for small businesses.
Plus, move over, Doc Ock. Inventors in Japan are showing off a new creation that could give users a helping hand. Taco Bell's volcano menu makes a comeback, and renters are finally getting some relief. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabil Marcellus.
Renters may be finding some relief. The median rent in the U.S. was lower in May than a year ago. It was the first annual decline in at least 3 years, according to Realtor.com. The national median asking rent was $1,739 for the month. That's down 0.5% from May of 2022. And rents are expected to continue to decline in the second half of the year and into next year. Meta is launching a virtual reality subscription service called MetaQuest Plus. It will offer users 2 new games each month. The monthly subscription service will be $7.99, and new games will launch on the first of the month. The new plan is an effort by Meta to generate revenue from its reality labs. The unit is developing virtual and augmented reality technologies, but it had an operating loss of nearly $4 billion in the first quarter. Taco Bell is bringing the heat with the return of its volcano menu. The Double Beef Volcano Burrito, Taco, and Lava Sauce are all returning for the first time since 2016. The trio feature a spicy blend of cheeses along with fiery red jalapeno peppers. Taco Bell Rewards members can start ordering the items beginning today. Others will be able to order the volcano menu starting Thursday. And those are your business headlines. I'm Sabil Marcellus at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Drive-thrus are highly beneficial to fast food restaurant sales, but they may be causing problems for some towns and cities. A new report says the long lines of customers in their cars waiting to order, leading to traffic congestion and accidents. A growing number of cities now are banning new drive-thru developments in an effort to make the disruptions stop.
Local businesses can earn some extra money with Amazon's new delivery plan. The company is starting a program called Amazon Hub Delivery, which pays small businesses to complete the final leg of delivery. Businesses interested in applying for the program do not need to have delivery experience, but will be expected to make daily deliveries with its own staff and vehicles. Amazon says businesses could make up to $27,000 a year and can expect to do about 30 deliveries a day.
When our new news continues, we have new reporting about Jamie Lassiter's affair with Speaker Tim Moore and why her salary raises during that time are being called into question.
Also, AI to the rescue. How artificial intelligence technology is helping cities across the country streamline their non-emergency response process. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A recent lawsuit revealed a state employee had an affair with one of the most powerful people in state government.
And the woman at the center of that lawsuit got large salary raises during the course of the affair. Now, this revelation is raising concern among political observers about the legitimacy of the raises. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us now with some of the background on this story. Ken.
Well, Jeff and Renee, our NC Capital team broke this story earlier this morning. We're talking about Jamie Lassiter, who, based on a lawsuit filed by her estranged husband, had an affair with House Speaker Tim Moore. This is all coming out as a result of this alienation of affection lawsuit filed by Lassiter's husband, Scott Lassiter. In new reporting by our NC Capital team, over the course of the three-year affair, Jamie Lassiter's salary increased more than 50% from more than $80,000 to more than $122,000. She is the executive director of the North Carolina Conference of Clerks of Superior Court. Now, we should note the salary increases were decided by a committee of Superior Court clerks from across the state, not by the legislature. Lassiter says the conference committee would not have known about her relationship with Speaker Moore. Now, in a statement to WREL, the head of the Conference of Clerks says, referring to Jamie Lassiter, her raises were based upon performance and achievement during her tenure. Jamie Lassiter started as the conference's executive director in 2016 before the affair began. Well, you can read the full story online at WREL.com/NC Capital. Jeff?
Ken, thanks for the updates. Right now, a new voting system for the state is under consideration for use in upcoming elections across North Carolina. Today, the State Board of Elections is hosting a demonstration of election system software, or ESS. Its software is designed to prepare, cast, and count ballots and includes ballot tabulators, marking devices, and election management computers. A certified voting system testing laboratory says the system meets the requirements of the state. It's already used by 94 of the state's 100 counties.
We expect to learn more today about progress on a new effort to keep children safe in Wake County's public schools. The Board of Education will receive an update on the timeline for its new visitor management system. It will require visitors, including parents and volunteers, to show ID and submit to a background check. The program reviews whether any visitor is a sex offender or on any other watch list. The school system is working with a vendor to get the kiosks installed at all schools.
Firefighters in North Carolina battled a three-alarm fire that broke out at a school last night. Crews responded to this fire around 10 p.m. at the Charlotte Preparatory School. Over 60 firefighters were on that scene, along with police and EMS. It took firefighters 90 minutes to get that blaze under control. The cause of the fire is under investigation. No injuries have been reported.
A couple of major road projects along the Beltline could delay drivers this week. Work on the I-440 widening project will have eastbound Wade Avenue closed from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. each night through Thursday. Crews are working to demolish the old 440 West Bridge to Wade Avenue. Meanwhile, resurfacing continues to fix the rough pavement on I-440 between Lake Boone Trail and Wake Forest Road. Crews have one more lane to complete on the eastbound side between Six Forks and Wake Forest Roads. This morning, local and state leaders held a panel discussion about plans for growth in West Raleigh. Local and state leaders shared their progress on the Hillsborough Street closure at I-440, the work along the Blue Ridge Corridor, and new affordable housing. The goal is to improve traffic flow in that area. Organizers say there are hundreds of millions of dollars being invested into these projects.
We're surrounded by artificial intelligence in everyday life, and now cities across the United States are using the technology to help streamline the non-emergency response process. Carly Olson explains how the city of Portland, Oregon is putting that technology to use.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
When you think of emergency response, you might think of calls like these.
Is he responding normally? Is he completely alert?
But not all calls that come into the Portland Bureau of Emergency Communications need the same level of response.
Hello.
And that's where artificial intelligence could lighten the load.
My car was broken into.
Director Bob Causey shows us how it works, a new program with an automated voice to guide callers through non-emergency situations.
I'm going to get you help with a theft from a vehicle call.
An idea born from a pressing need.
Our 911 calls have increased by 39% since 2018, and 911 is our priority. That's what we answer first. And then non-emergency calls have to wait. It's not unheard of for callers to be waiting for an hour, sometimes even 2 hours.
Sometimes the line is backed up with calls that don't necessarily need a human touch. And this tool would get them connected to resources without waiting and also place less stress on staff.
And our staff is looking forward to it because a lot of the burden that they face is recognizing the number of calls that are waiting in the queue. They can see it. That's frustrating to them because they don't get a break between calls.
Even though artificial intelligence in any form of response can raise concern, Causey wants the public to know the program would only take calls for situations that don't require further human assistance.
They are on their way. You did good. He's breathing.
And emergencies would still be handled by real people.
Non-emergency calls that do need to be dispatched do need to come to us, but many of them can be vetted a different way.
It was Carly Olson reporting, and with their current vendor, the program is free through the end of the year. If the Bureau decides to keep the program full-time, it'll cost them $150,000 a year.
Congress is cracking down on using chatbots in the office. A House of Representatives memo lays out strict guidelines for using AI models such as ChatGPT. Officers are reportedly only allowed to use a paid version of the chatbot called ChatGPT Plus because of its stronger privacy controls. Staffers must enable privacy features to prevent the technology from saving the data. Its use is limited to research and evaluation.
Elon Musk's mother is calling off an MMA-style match between the SpaceX founder and fellow billionaire Mark Zuckerberg. Mae Musk tweeted saying the fight was off. Her disapproval comes as Musk found a new training partner, former UFC champion George St. Pierre. The MMA legend tweeting that training Musk would be an absolute honor. Musk responded, okay, let's do it. Mom knows best.
We know that ultraviolet light from the sun or a tanning bed can increase your skin cancer risk. But what about UV light from the lamps used to dry your nails at the salon? We'll share the findings of a recent study.
Plus, how parents can help rein in their kids' time on social media thanks to new features within the social media apps. He became a household name during the pandemic, and now Dr. Anthony Fauci is coming out of retirement to start a new job. The former White House chief medical advisor is now a professor at Georgetown University. Dr. Fauci will serve as a distinguished university professor in the School of Medicine's Department of Medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases. That division provides clinical care, conducts research, and trains future physicians in infectious diseases. For the first time in 20 years, malaria is spreading here in the U.S. The CDC now is warning doctors and public health officials about the disease. So far, 4 cases have been reported in Florida, 1 in Texas. The CDC says Americans usually contract malaria while traveling overseas. The agency says the cases do not appear to be linked.
UV nail dryers can lead to DNA damage and cell mutations. Although more research is needed, there are some precautions you can take when using UV nail dryers after a gel manicure. One dermatologist recommends applying sunscreen to your hands about 20 minutes before a nail appointment. But the best way to prevent skin cancer and premature aging is to limit your exposure to UV nail dryers.
The research tells us that the ultraviolet light from these boxes causes DNA damage in the cells, just like ultraviolet light from the sun. What we don't yet know is how that translates into individual people and how much of an increased risk of skin cancer you get from using those ultraviolet light boxes.
Dermatologists say if you only get gel manicures for special occasions, you're probably okay. But if you go every 2-3 weeks, you're probably increasing your risk of skin cancer on your hands.
Well, it might look like something out of a Spider-Man movie here, but a new device could turn people into multi-armed cyborgs. Details after the break. Plus,
in my head, it looks a bit more elegant than what I've seen on the video, but it could be worse.
But you did it. We'll hear more from the Belgian shot putter who jumped in to run the 100-meter hurdles for her team at the last minute.
It's a busy world we live in. Sometimes it seems like we don't have enough time to get things done, not enough hands to multitask. Marianne Rafferty takes a look at the unique invention that could solve all our problems.
We've all been there before, when life gets so busy that an extra set of hands doesn't seem like a bad idea. And thanks to researchers in Japan, it could become a reality. A team at the University of Tokyo is working on a new device that can give users up to 6 additional arms. The gadget, worn on the back, has 6 sockets where the arms can be positioned. It also features different types of hands, ranging from a human-like design to a claw. For now, the wearable arms don't function by themselves. Instead, a crew moves the arms on a smaller model of the device, causing the larger arms to follow along.
In Japan, we have a traditional type of puppet theater called bunraku, where 3 people manipulate a puppet. So it's quite similar to that type of remote operation.
But as technology evolves, researchers hope to develop other accessories that can be added to the device.
If in the future you wish to sprout wings from your back or attach a drone, by changing these attachments, you can acquire a range of abilities. I think that could be a possibility.
The team also says their tech isn't just for making life more practical. They hope it can inspire new forms of artistic expression.
I want to see new types of performance using the body, new art forms being created. I'd like to stimulate creativity and accelerate its spread throughout society.
Okay, so maybe not all of our problems, but that was Marianne Rafferty reporting, and this is great news. The team is also exploring how the device could be used for speeding up search and rescue operations after natural disasters.
When a top Belgian hurdler could not race in the European Athletics Team Championships, her team turned to its top shot putter. Violine Boamco finished 7th in the shot put, an event in which she recently broke her own national record. Now, normally that would have been the end of her competition at the championships in Poland. But when injuries took out her teammates, it was Boamco to the rescue.
I'm really happy that this race symbolized something, the team spirit, the team playership, and that people from different situations, professionals, not professionals, people who are not into sports, really see it, and it really connects people.
The 100-meter hurdles for my team.
What a moment. At the finish line, Boamco's fellow racers greeted her with high fives and handshakes. Despite her heroic effort, Belgium faces relegation to Division 2 in the next European Athletics Team Championships, having finished 14th out of 16 teams. In the biennial competition, the bottom 3 Division 1 teams are relegated and replaced by the top 3 Division 2 teams. So standings aside, though, just that effort alone, what a memorable moment, a moment of humanity. That's incredible.
Yeah, she said she didn't want to be famous. She wants to be known for her values, and she just did the teammate kind of thing to do. That's the person you want on your team.
Yep. She is an MVP.
That is great stuff. Elizabeth Gardner is our MVP as well in the WRL Severe Weather Center. And for this day, Elizabeth, you know, we had a decent day yesterday. Overnight was a different story, huh?
Ooh, yeah, it was a mess. Lots of trees down. We had almost 24 reports of wind damage reports. Of course, we had people had to get rescued out of their cars in Fayetteville. They had more than 4 inches of rain. So today will be a lot more quiet. It's a little bit cooler and a little less muggy. Meteorologist Mike Mays just walked into the building and said, oh, it's hot and sticky out there. I'm like, I just think we're not used to it. Yesterday we hit the mid-90s, and we have more weather like that in our forecast as we head into the holiday weekend. Here's a look at Goldsboro. Lots of sunshine, just a few little puffy cumulus clouds. Here's a look at Apex. You can see more in Apex and Chapel Hill, those cumulus clouds. Some of those big puffy cumulus clouds may dump a quick little shower on you this afternoon, especially north and northeast of the Triangle area. Apex looking great here. Chapel Hill's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, this is a look at our Fayetteville Newsroom. Folks enjoying a little bit of shade right there on Hay Street as it heats up out there this afternoon. Here's a look at future cast, and we do have the potential for a few isolated showers popping out. There's nothing showing up on the radar right now, but we'll continue to watch that through the afternoon. Nothing like what we saw yesterday, though. These are just going to be a few little light showers that move through. Our flow is coming out of the northwest, and there's still, you know, some moisture in the atmosphere, and with the daytime heating that we'll see, again, it may pop a shower or two for us, and that begins to fizzle once we get past sunset. We do have a bit of a wetter weekend in our forecast. Our temperatures will start to go up. The muggy meter goes up too, and our chance of storms does as well. So 30% chance on Friday night. There's a chance of a late afternoon isolated shower or thunderstorm. We're bringing it up to 40% on Saturday. Right now we have a 20 to 30% chance on Sunday. We may end up bumping that up again a little bit. Sunday and Monday are looking like they could be a little bit wetter. Mostly it's just these afternoon and evening storms. Taking a look at the tropics right here, you can pick out this disturbance disturbance here that's out in the Atlantic, just really just off the Bahamas. This is the remnants of Tropical Storm Cindy that we were tracking late in the week last week. It has a small chance of becoming a tropical system. It's a 10% chance in the next 2 days and a 30% chance in the next 7 days. Even if it doesn't become a tropical storm again, as it moves off the coast, it's possible that it would bump up our rip current danger along the coast. A lot of people are going to be going to the beach next week because of the holiday. So you just always want to check that rip current danger before you head into the water. 90 today, 89 tomorrow. It's hot. It's hot, definitely. But it gets hotter. Friday, you're looking at 94, 93 on Saturday. We're in the mid-90s for Sunday and Monday. And of course, Tuesday is the 4th of July holiday. So, hey, if you were wanting it to be hot to get outside, head to the lake and the pool, you'll definitely get your wish. But we may also be dodging a few late-day storms each day.
Those temperatures for the holiday weekend, par for the course around here. Netflix makes a big misstep in the wake of the Titan submersible tragedy. The decision that prompted users to take to social media to express their distaste.
And the winning Powerball numbers are on your screen right now. 6, 28, 39, 43, 54. The Powerball is 12. The Power Play is 4.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today lawmakers do not have exclusive authority to draw election maps. The case came from North Carolina. In Moore v. Harper, state lawmakers argued that state courts had overstepped their authority by ruling previous election maps unconstitutional. Today, the justices rejected that argument.
An NC State grad student is now charged in connection with the murder of Christina Matos. Matos was found stabbed to death, and this morning police in Raleigh arrested 22-year-old Kaylee Lynch Furacano. A grand jury indicted her yesterday. That indictment claims she destroyed and deleted evidence, as well as gave false information to law enforcement about the case.
Work is underway to repair a massive sinkhole on Rayford Road in Fayetteville that created a nightmare during last night's storm. We're told an 18-wheeler slammed through a barricade, pushing a police officer into the hole. That officer was able to pull himself out. He's now recovering at home. The driver is charged with failure to reduce speed and traveling too fast for conditions.
And breaking news from the WREL Live Center, we have just learned that Ryan Seacrest will be the new host of Wheel of Fortune starting next year. He will be replacing longtime host Pat Sajak, who is set to step down. He announced on June 12th that he would be stepping down after more than four decades on the job. He came to Wheel of Fortune in the early 80s and turned the show into a major hit. Again, breaking this afternoon, Ryan Seacrest will succeed him as host of Wheel of Fortune.
Thanks, Michelle. This is big news, too. Titanic is coming to Netflix, but some folks are saying it may be too soon after the Titan submersible tragedy. Some viewers didn't waste time criticizing the decision, calling the timing wrong following the death of five men who died in an implosion while aboard the Ocean Gate Titan submersible. The men who were on their way to explore the Titanic shipwreck. According to reports, Netflix's July list of movies included Titanic prior to the news of the missing submersible. Meta is rolling out new parental controls for Instagram and Facebook Messenger. The new feature preemptively blocks unwanted DMs on Messenger and Instagram and nudges them to remind teens to take a break. Parents can also look at settings like who can message their teens and who can view their stories. The supervision controls will be available in Meta's Family Center.
Our pet of the day is an older yet energetic beagle boy from Tri Beagles. Rocco gets along great with other dogs, cats, and humans alike. He enjoys going for walks and is great on the leash, but will take many sniff breaks. Rocco loves toys, especially soft and squeaky ones. To learn more about him, visit tribeagles.org.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a wonderful day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.